I hope you will bear with me this morning. My message this morning is not on today's lectionary. Instead, I've used an earlier verse in Paul's epistle to the Romans. The Apostle Paul lists earlier in chapter 8, love, joy, peace, kindness, generosity, patience, and faithfulness as qualities that are fruits of the Spirit. Again, the fruits of the Spirit are love, peace, kindness, generosity, patience, and faithfulness. Of all the virtues of the Christian life, the one that I have difficulty getting a passing grade in is patience. If only Paul had not put that word patience in the mix, I could consider myself a pretty fair student of the fruits of the Spirit. Or, if somehow the idea was that you had to do well on 6 or 7 out of the 9 qualities, then the score of a B+ or an A- on the fruit of the Spirit test, I could breathe a little easier. Now, I have known people who do really have patience. I try not to hate them. There are people who can sit in a traffic jam, do a Sunday drive behind a wagon pulling a tractor for 35 minutes, and get stuck in the longest line at the grocery store without even come close to one of those deleted expletives. When I look at that quality of Christian character, patience, which Paul names as one of the fruits of the Spirit, I can hear that teacher's voice way back in grade school. You should be more like so-and-so. We've all heard that at one time in our lives. And sure enough, when I encounter people who are waiting with a grain of salt and a traffic jam with calmness, I actually do wish I was more like them. In fact, that is the one prayer I am praying continuously to God. Give me patience. All of this struggle with patience is common for many of us. But there is something in our reading from Romans that takes us way beyond the ordinary everyday struggle with patience. There is more to Paul's discussion of patience than wishing we had more of it. In those times when we are stuck in a long line at the grocery store, our reading from Romans drives us to the essence of what it means to be a person of faith. Patience in a traffic jam is one thing, but patience in the face of persecution and pain, or even waiting for good things to happen, is something else entirely. In our gospel lesson last week, we are told another parable of a sower. This one sows good seeds that fall on good soil. But an enemy, Satan, comes in the night and sows weeds in that same soil. Could it be that we are the ones who cause the weeds to grow in that garden? Because we didn't do what needed to be done to protect the good seed. But that's another sermon. The workers of the household want to root up the weeds, but the master tells them to wait. Be patient. Wait. Be patient, because in your zeal to destroy the bad, you might destroy the good as well. Wait. Be patient. The fact is, the biblical quality of patience goes beyond the simple idea of someone who is able to endure waiting. Patience in our readings is the key component of faith and a hallmark of trust in God. It is not an isolated characteristic of one's personality, but a result of a process in the life of faith. Indeed, biblical patience is not something that we can develop on our own within ourselves. It is not enough we could try harder to become more patient. I know this is true because I've tried to be more patient, particularly when I'm driving. Drivers who go 10 to 15 miles below the speed limit or never give a signal when making the turn really upsets me. But patience in the life of faith grows by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we are more fully united with Christ. The patience that matures is a hallmark of our trust in God. Patience has roots in hope, and hope has its root in the faith in God. Dr. Roberta Hastinis spoke to the graduating class of the University of Dubuque Theological Seminary about the role Christians have in bringing hope to a hopeless world. She told of going to Africa and seeing a scorched valley where there was nothing but dust, decay, and death. She and others had been asked to bring hope to a place of absolute hopelessness. She said, "Children I took to be a year old were 7 and 8 years old. Children were dying, adults were sick, and there was no prospect of anything good happening in the foreseeable future." Dr. Hastinis returned over 10 years later to see a green valley where famine had been erased. Children joyously healthy, and 3 new churches thrived. It was the faith and hope of Christian people who had come to bring hope that eventually transformed the people, the conditions, and the life of that valley. Now, there's a really important concept in the story of Dr. Hastinis told the graduates. She told them that there was no prospect of anything good happening in the foreseeable future. The key term here is foreseeable future. When you and I run out of patience, it is frequently because we don't see a way out in the immediate future. Here is the bottom line for people of faith. Christian hope is based on God, on trust in the God who sees around the corner and is able to promise a hopeful outcome for those things that are not foreseeable to us. The story of a troubled and then transformed land is a powerful testimony to the fact that the patience Paul speaks of is finally a gift that comes from God. As we study Paul's writings, it is clear that patience as a quality of Christian living is rooted in our spiritual lives. Paul takes us through this by showing us that we are first all led by the Spirit of God because we are God's children. Next, he takes us back to the foundations of spiritual life by reminding us that God's very Spirit works in our inner lives to build our confidence that we are united in Christ. Finally, out of these two critical principles, Paul speaks about the unity of all God's creation and all God's creatures in the great hope of ultimate redemption when God reigns over all things. Because of this, we are able to wait patiently because our redemption is certain. Remember those seven qualities that are the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, and patience. If we are lacking in any of these fruits, our lives will be less fulfilled. We all need to love more and love unconditionally. We need to seek joy in what we do for ourselves and for others. We need to work for peace in our lives. We need to be kind and generous with our joy and peace. We must never lose faith that God loves us and cares for us. We must always remember that God does not think as we do. He is so much more wiser than we are. We would do well to pray the Serenity Prayer every day, maybe all day. You've all heard it. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Some people don't know that the author of this prayer, Reinhold Niebuhr, wrote more than what I just read. Here is the rest of that Serenity Prayer. I like to call it the Prayer of Patience. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking, as he did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that I will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. Praise be to God. Amen.